Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in. Just say, Lord, help me encounter you today. Some of you already encountered God. Somebody got hold of God during worship, and it shook you. It made a difference. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. These are almost true stories. Okay, a priest, he buys a lawnmower at a yard sale. And back home, he pulls on the rope a few times, and with no results, he storms back to the yard sale, and he tells the previous owner, he says, I can't get the mower to start. He says, that's because you have to cuss to get it started. And the priest says, look, I'm a man of the cloth. I don't even remember how to cuss. He said, you keep pulling on that rope, you'll remember pretty quick. There's a fourth grader. He celebrated his birthday on crutches, so he couldn't carry the cupcakes to his class without any help. So the mother asked the sixth grader to help his brother carry them in. He said, I could, but I'd rather not. So seeing a teaching moment, the father asked Noah, well, what would Jesus do? And quickly Noah the son replied, well, Jesus would heal him so he could carry his own cupcakes. So a Christian man named Bill saw an ad online for a Christian horse. So we went to check it out. The horse's owner said, it's easy to ride him. Just say praise the Lord to make him go and amen to make him stop. So Bill got on the horse and he said, praise the Lord. And sure enough, the horse started to walk. Praise the Lord, he said, and the horse began to stop. It began to trot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, he yelled. And the horse broke into a gallop. Bill was enjoying his ride so much that he almost didn't notice the cliff that he and the horse were about to go over. And Bill shouted amen at the top of his lungs, and the horse stopped right at the edge of the cliff. Relieved, Bill said, praise the Lord. So how many you know Charlie Coker? And Ron Culver, so they're up in Alaska right now, actually in Kodiak Island, and yeah, they didn't invite me to go. Anyway, yeah, anybody feel bad for me? Yeah, okay, four of you. Yeah, okay, thanks. Love you too. Anyway, they're up at Kodiak Island, and they got to go fishing, and so I mean, you know, come on, Kodiak Island, right? Well, this is no joke. So they're fishing at the river. An 8 grizzly bear came out of the woods 50 yards away from them. And I said to him, I said, so you're carrying? He said, yeah. He said, they gave us each a whistle. I could just see the headline. Whistle found in bear's belly, but pastor's not found, you know? But, you know, while Charlie was there, he was saying, well, Lord, whatever, just make them Christian bears. So all the bears came down to the water, got on their knees, and said, thank you, Jesus, for this food we're about to eat. Oh, my goodness. We had so much fun with that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. How many of you know that that the Old Testament is not a different God? The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. The difference is the people and what covenant they were under. In the Old Testament, they were under a covenant for the most part after the fall and after Moses encouraged the people to go up the mountain and they wouldn't go up the mountain and meet with God. After that moment, we saw the law given out. Now, actually, prior to that point, they were not under the law yet. But it was when they rejected relationship with God, and we talk about this a lot because I think this is very important to us. But they came under the law, and God gave them the law, the rules, and the regulations. Same God, when Jesus came, he brought a new covenant, and he paid for it with his own blood. His blood purchased the new covenant that says that I'm no longer under the law of sin and death, but I'm under a different law or a different covenant. It is the covenant or the law of the Spirit of life, right? And who is the Spirit of life? That's the Holy Spirit, right? So in the Old Testament, you had God offer the people to become a nation of kings and priests. He offered them to come up. Actually, it was just a nation of priests at that moment. And he offered them to come up to the mountain. And if they came up to the mountain, they had to leave their old ways at the bottom of the mountain. And if they ascended up to the place of the presence of God, it says Moses ascended into the cloud, right? And they, if they would have done that, they would have had this amazing relationship. And I'm not sure how things would have unfolded from there, because the people of God would have been in relationship with God, restored in relationship with God. But because they wanted to hold on to their old ways, because they knew they couldn't ascend the mountain with their old ways, right? And I'm concerned about the body of Christ in this way. A lot of people have come into this new covenant without full understanding. They've come into the new covenant kind of like you buy an insurance policy. Like, it's like fire insurance. Like, I don't want to go to hell. And I think we focus so much on heaven and hell, like whether you go to heaven or go to hell, when that's a byproduct. Our understanding of heaven is drastically changing, and it's not some faraway place in the sweet by and by when we meet on that beautiful place. Actually, heaven is the kingdom of God. But we know this, that Jesus inaugurated the return of the kingdom of God. And slowly it is returning to the earth. That the sons and daughters of God are charged by God with the return of his kingdom to the earth. And every time we put one of his enemies under his feet, every time we come into obedience and we put one of his enemies under his feet, then the rule of God increases on the earth. Does that make sense? Now, that's important for us to understand. And the problem is, when we bring people into the body of Christ, we tell them that Jesus is here to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, people use that term all the time, as your personal Savior, then all is good. Then everything else falls into place. And I'm here to tell you that that is not true. Jesus is not asking you to make him your personal Savior. You are to give up your life and accept his. That he is to become your Lord. As he becomes your Lord, he does save you from your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and give you his righteousness. But here's what's interesting. We are to pursue his righteousness. We don't just wear it. Righteousness means the condition that is acceptable to God. And so we're all growing into that condition that is acceptable to him. Y'all hear me on this? Does this make sense? So we're right now, each one of us that call on the name of the Lord Jesus, we are in this journey, and we're either pursuing God or we're moving away from God. Now, it's the enemy's intention to move us away from God, okay? That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is to continually have us drawn closer to him. And so that's why we come and we meet here on a Sunday morning, because together, corporately, there's something here that we do not have individually. There is a volume of the presence of God that each one of us carries with us. A measure of the kingdom of God that it, when Linda comes, it's different. It's good to see you this morning, Linda. Really good to see you this morning. And she watches the podcast and she's faithful. And, but she lives a distance away, so she can't make it here all the time. But when she's part of us. And so when Edwin comes in, there's a measure of the kingdom that comes. When Jody comes in, there's a measure of the kingdom that comes. When Debbie comes in, there's a measure of the kingdom that comes in here. And together we can enjoy something of God that individually we cannot enjoy. And if you're not here, we cannot enjoy. That's part of the reason that we want to bring others into this, is because, you know, see, we're different right now since Jen has become part of this and Brian have become part of this. You understand? We have increased. We're better because you're part of us. And you're better because you're part of us. Are you with me? I'm better because I'm part of City Church. And so, but it's very important to understand the way God does things, the way he thinks. In the past, we've been taught that that becoming a Christian really just modifies your behavior. But we learned that can't just be true, because if it's just about our outward behavior, it's just about the rules. And it's empty of some substance that you have to continue in that. If it's just about the rules, come on. You know, you put a little kid in a candy shop unattended, and you say, now don't touch anything. You know what's eventually going to happen, right? You can't just leave them as a little kid, and you can't leave them alone, right? And we're not alone. But we've been taught that it's just about the way you behave. But then we learned that, hey, we have Holy Spirit with us, and he's there to guide us. But it's not just about what we do. It's also about, you know, how we think, right? And so learning to think differently, to change our mind, the renewing of the mind, as Paul talks about, is crucial to the believer. That our mind be continually renewed. Why? Because, you know, it's like my car. I took my car. I love this car wash over in Mount Pleasant, over at the get-go. It's got the, you know, it's not just the water spraying. It's the brushes and the octopus that, you know, goes like this over your car and, you know, all that stuff. I used to be terrified of that as a kid. I thought it was a beast. And we were being swallowed by the beast, you know. I mean, probably what happened is I was in the back of my grandparents' Buick. And they were going through the automatic car wash, and I was asleep, and I woke up, and then I just see this raw, you know. We're dying. But I took my car to the automatic car wash last week, and I came out of the car wash, and it was, wow, it was shining. It's got this red color to it, that black wheels, and it was shining. It was looking good, you know. But how many of you know, just a couple days of driving and the dirt starts to build up again, right? The car didn't change. What's on the car changed. Are you with me? Because of having to live life on the road, like you're driving on the road. You've got to drive on the roads, right? We're not of this world, but we are in this world. And we're not changing, but the dust of the earth gets on us. And we got to be washed. And that's important. Our mind has to be renewed. We have to spend time in the presence of God like this in corporate worship. It does something. It changes the way we think, right? Yeah. And that's crucial. And I think that's the thing. But not only are we to change the way we think, I would go even further and to say we are to think with God. we're not just to think based on our own understanding. I remember a church I was involved in a while back. And something didn't feel quite right. This is many, many years ago. And in the Sunday school class, they would say, what's your opinion of that scripture? What's your opinion? And everyone had this completely different opinion. And it never quite felt right to me. Because I'm thinking, I don't care what they think. I don't care what I think. What's God think? Do you know there is one way that God desires his scriptures to be interpreted? His way. And in attempting to do that, we have Holy Spirit to help us correctly. Now, do we miss it now and then? Yes, we do. But we get it right a whole lot more than we get it wrong if our heart's pure. Are you with me? Now, I say all that to say that God is wanting us to walk with him and think with him, that we can restore the kingdom of God to the earth. Are we all in agreement on that? Yeah. And the more we restore the kingdom of God to the earth, may I suggest to you, though, the more light that comes, the more darkness is noticeable. And the more... if you go into a cave and you're standing at the mouth of the cave with a candle, it is bright right around the candle, but the deeper you go in the cave, the darker it gets, right? Now, if you hold two candles, that light goes twice as far, correct? And three and four candles and so on. The problem is that the deeper you go into the cave, the worse that darkness is. You're eliminating the darkness as you increase the light, but the further you go back into the cave, the more dark the darkness is, if you will. Does that make sense? And we're seeing that today. We're seeing that the light of the kingdom of God is increasing on the earth. Now, how do I know that? Because you're here. Because you're increasing, you're growing. The kingdom of God can never go backwards. Of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. So the kingdom, once a measure of the kingdom comes, it is here. Are you with me? Okay, but you say, but man, there's such horrible stuff going on out there right now. Like, I never conceived that things could be like this. Well, what's happening is the darkness is penetrating. The light is penetrating, but the darkness you're discovering is even darker still. That doesn't mean there's more darkness. It means that the darkness that is there is even darker. Are you with me? Say no if you're not. Okay. All right, good. I heard someone on TV say no. Okay. It'll make sense in a little bit. So what do we do? How do we? I think you can look at the Old Testament, and you can find kind of like a pattern to help us in the New Testament. Like the temple, the tabernacle, was a shadow of what we have today in who we are as the temple of God. And if we want to look at what we're to be, we can look at a shadow of that and understand a little bit more about who and what we should be. Does that make sense? And I'd like to do that for a minute. And I want to use the period of time that Solomon created the temple. And turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles 5:1. Now, because I forgot my glasses, I cannot be held responsible for seeing absolutely perfectly, because I have bifocals in my glasses. But I also have long distance seeing. That's why I wear my glasses here, but rarely ever wear them anywhere else, because I can put my cheaters on if I need to, right? But that's okay, because if I wear my cheaters now, then I can't see you clearly. Then I'm, you know, calling Debbie Lamont, and, you know, yeah. All right. And that's what I'm saying. All right. So just stretch out your hand and say, Lord, bless him. Say, help my pastor. All right, 2 Chronicles 5:1. Thus all the work of Solomon that Solomon performed for the house of the Lord was finished. Say, all the work for the house of the Lord was finished. continues on, and Solomon brought in the things that David his father had dedicated, even the silver and gold, all the utensils, and put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Now, so the temple is built. Now watch what happens next. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, just a couple verses down in that same chapter. In unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, even then the house of the Lord was filled. Everyone say filled. Filled with the glory, with a cloud, okay? So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, you have to understand what is going on here. What is this cloud? Some people say, oh, Pastor, that was just the Shekinah. It's just like the fog of God, and it was just, everyone felt warm and fuzzy. No. It's far more than that. Remember, let the Bible interpret the Bible. When you're trying to interpret, when you're trying to understand what God meant when He had this written down, you have to let the rest of the Word of God interpret it. So where do we see the cloud? We see it all through the Old Testament. Where did we see it through the Old Testament? We saw it first when, what happened? When Moses was leaving out of bondage and going into the promised land, crossing through the desert, what did they follow? They followed the cloud. Right, it was a cloud of smoke by day and why was it smoked at one time and fire in another? Did you ever see a campfire during the day? You don't really notice the fire as much as you notice the smoke because you can see the smoke better. But at nighttime, you don't see the smoke as much. What do you see? You see the fire. It's the same thing day and night. It's just what you notice is different. What indicates where this thing is different. Are you with me? So what's happening? So they see the cloud, and they're following the cloud, right? Now here, we see that they finish the temple, and they make all kinds of sacrifice. And what happens is the glory of God comes, and it falls, and a cloud appears. Now what is the cloud? We've talked about this many times. The cloud is the gate between heaven and earth. It is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. It's what happens when two fronts come together in a weather system, right? When you have a high-pressure system and a low-pressure system comes together, the line that forms in between the two, clouds form. Anytime you have two different kingdoms come together, there is a confrontation. And here, that confrontation is in the form of a cloud. So mankind is standing on this side of heaven, and the cloud they're peering through is showing the gateway to that side of heaven. So now the people of God have built this temple, this place where they could come and they could talk to God and they could come and they could hear God. Now it's a shadow of what would come. We never want to go back to that because we never believe that the shadow is the real thing. We never want to substitute a shadow for what is real. When we're walking out along the road and it's a bright sunny day and you're walking with me, I can come and I can see your shadow on the ground. But I'm not going to talk to your shadow. I'm not going to try to embrace your shadow. I'm not going to try to offer a sandwich to your shadow, am I? That would be ridiculous. So why would we ever try to live in the shadow? We never live in the shadow. We always live in what is real. Now, for them in that day, that's what they had. That's the best they had. But that's not the best we have. We have Holy Spirit who is with us. We are the temple of God. He has come to inhabit us, and we have available the gate between heaven. We don't have to remain here on the earth. We travel through the cloud, right? Through His presence, so that we can get to the place where we can receive the instruction from the Lord. Because when we receive the instruction from the Lord, we learn that that's where we can release it on the earth and increase the kingdom. Are you with me? Does this make sense? Okay, so we see that Solomon builds the temple. the people of Israel now have a place they can go and be heard. They can receive instruction. They can sacrifice. The Lord is present. Now they are unstoppable. And we see that the kingdom under Solomon became even greater than the kingdom under David. The reason it became greater is because David positioned his son to be able to rule well in the kingdom that he had. And because he did that, Solomon had the temple built and began to make the temple function. They put worshipers outside. 24/7 they had worship going on in the temple. There was sacrifice going on. Their first time of sacrifice, they sacrificed 120,000 bulls. Wait, was that right? Is it 45,000? It was, I calculated it. It was like 480-some thousand gallons of blood that was. Can you imagine the floor? You were ankle deep in blood. It was running out of every gate in Jerusalem. There was so much blood going on. Now, here's what's crazy. All of that blood was a shadow, and it only takes one drop of Jesus' blood to pay the price for what all of that blood did. Come on, somebody. And you have Jesus' blood applied to you. Come on. All right, now, so 2 Chronicles 6. Now, here's some instructions. So now Israel is unstoppable. They can't be stopped. They have the presence of God that they can access. They can go and receive. They sacrifice in the temple, and they hear what God says, and they can become obedient to what God says. And literally, they can't be beaten. May I submit to you that this walk with Jesus is a life of sacrifice. The word agape itself means sacrificial, self-giving, self-sharing. God made the ultimate sacrifice, but we have to make the ultimate sacrifice. We lay down our lives, pick up our cross daily, and follow him. But listen, that is the tiniest price to pay, because when we do that, we become who we're supposed to be. Like the people of Israel, we have a choice. Can I leave here what I've been carrying all my life and go up to the mountain and live in the presence of God? Or do I keep hold of all my junk and not ascend into his presence? The problem is, we've been selling people a bill of goods that says you can be born again and still hold on to all your junk and still walk in the full goodness of God that he has for you. I'm here to tell you that doesn't work. You cannot hold on to your junk and become who you're supposed to be. It's impossible. Paul said it this way, and Jesus said it this way. He said, you're not worthy to be called my disciple if you're not willing to lay down your life daily. Daily. Now, let me say it a different way. You're not worthy to be called my disciple. Somebody needs to hear me. You're not worthy to be called my disciple if every day you're not willing to lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow me. Laying down your life is sacrifice on the altar. Picking up your cross is the life of obedience. And following God is ruling well yourself and what is around you. I'll say that again. Laying down my life is sacrifice. Picking up my cross daily is living a life of obedience, which leads me to be able to rule my life well and that which is around me. Say amen or oh my. Say this. Say sacrifice, obedience, and ruling. Now watch this. So again, we're looking at the shadow. We're looking at Old Testament Israel. Solomon, a chapter later, is receiving instruction for the people of God. And he gives them this instruction from the Spirit of God, from God himself. It says, when they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you are angry with them and deliver them to your enemy. Now, this is speaking to God. When they sin against you, God, see that's capitalized, the you. No, it's not in that translation. In mine it is. I need to get a holy translation on that. Okay. Anyway. If they take thought in the land where they are taken captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have committed iniquity and have acted wickedly. If they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, say in the land of their captivity, where they've been taken captive, and pray toward the land which you have given to their forefathers and the city which you have chosen and toward the house which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, remember, I said that Israel was unstoppable. Nothing on the earth could stand in the way of the people of God except themselves. Devils couldn't make them. Their enemy couldn't stop them. Angels were cheering for them. And God himself was on the throne ruling over them to bring about their best because he is their people. I don't know that we believe that. I think we think that somehow devils have some power over us that we can't deal with. I think we sometimes think that people can do things to us to bring our demise that we can do nothing about. I think we believe that sickness has some power over us that we don't have power or authority over. And I'm here to tell you that is not God's intention. You say, well, okay, but why do these things happen? Why did COVID kill so many people on the earth? I can tell you that it was never God's intention for all those people to die from disease. But it was because we have not yet learned how to deal with that sickness. We have not yet been able to fully get hold of that kingdom truth that we weren't able to release it on the earth fully. But here's what I can tell you. There are pockets of kingdom revelation that stop that thing dead in its tracks. I know from what I speak of because I've experienced it. Do you remember, we just read about Balak and Balaam. Balak was a king of another kingdom, not of the people of God. And he saw Israel coming, and so he goes to a prophet, Balaam. And he says to Balaam, hey, I need you to come and I need you to curse this people because they're kicking, but they are unstoppable, and we have to find a way of stopping them. May I suggest to you that there is sin around you that is looking for a way of stopping you, looking for a way of getting you to curse yourself because it cannot curse you. Balaam tried and tried. And like he would tell Balak. Balak would say, listen, I'll give you buckets of gold. Just curse this people. And Balaam said, look, I can't. They are not cursable, not by an outside force. I can't do anything to them. Four times. Finally, Balaam went to Balak and said, listen, you can't curse them, but you can get them to curse themselves. You send out your little chickies, and you lure the men in, and you can bring a curse on them. That's what sin's all about. All the enemy's trying to do is get you to buy into being lured in so the enemy can say, aha! Isn't that crazy? The enemy lures you into sin, and then once you get in there and you get trapped, then he beats you about the head. That sin is not your friend. That moment of pleasure, that moment of relief, that moment of safety, that moment of whatever it is you're embracing for that moment is a false sense of security. It will destroy you. You say, well, what is it that's sin? Are you talking about cussing? Are you talking about, you know, pornography? Are you talking about cheating on your taxes? Are you talking about homosexuality? What are you talking about? I'm talking about anything that is not the will of God. I'm talking about anything that you haven't checked with God on and make sure you're okay with it. See, we're not called to just go through life and God have to tap us on our shoulder and say, hey, stop that. No, it says in the Word of God that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So what should the righteous man do? In the beginning of his day, he stands before the Lord and says, God, show me where my steps are. Show me how I'm to walk. Show me what I'm to do. Show me how I'm to think. I want to think with you. I want to walk with you. Everything I do is not mine. My life is yours because your life is mine. I was talking to the Lord this morning, and I was praying over those that are disciples in City Church. Those of you that are in pursuit of the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I said to the Lord, Lord, how do you define a disciple? He said, well, that's easy. It's anyone who will give up their life completely and follow me. He said, that's the ones that you're to focus on teaching, you're to mentor, that you're charged to disciple. He said, but remember this, you're not worthy to be a teacher if you're not willing to lay down your lives to help teach them. I said, then who can be a disciple and who can be a teacher? Because, you know, I mean, does that mean I have to give up my family? Does that mean I have to get a priestly robe and not, you know, walk barefoot everywhere and, you know, with my hands in my sleeves like this? The Lord said, that's silly. It means that you're to completely be led by Holy Spirit. He said, that's what a disciple is, and that's what a real teacher is. They that are led by the Spirit of God are known on the earth as sons of God. And that's who you are. But it's not easy. You encounter stuff, right, Debbie? You encounter stuff, right, Addison? I mean, there's junk. There's stuff you have to deal with in your head. That's why God wants you to think with Him, so He can straighten out that stuff up there. Listen, the enemy doesn't need you to behave badly. He just needs you to think badly. Because if he can get you to think badly, then behavior will follow. But he wants inside your head. That's why you have to take time with the Lord. And you ask the Lord to help you think right about those things. I have to do that continually. I have to do that daily. And when I do, it changes my whole outlook and it changes my behavior. Because the things I'll do if I'm in fear are very different than the things I do when God gives me instruction and He gives me the peace of God and the knowledge of God to know what to do to actually solve that problem. See, because when I do things out of fear, I'm actually falling into the trap of the enemy. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I want you to see the pattern. We're going to finish with this. Solomon has the temple, he makes sacrifice. Sacrifice will lead to obedience. If you're willing to sacrifice, if you're willing to lay down your life, then God will give you instruction concerning your life, and you'll have to choose whether you want to be obedient to that or not. Now, if you're a disciple of Jesus, if you're following Him, if you pick up your cross, then you'll be obedient to it. Right? Sacrifice, I lay down my life. I say, Lord, this life is not my own. You bought it with your price, the blood of Jesus. So I lay down my life. So that's sacrifice. And then I pick up my cross. God gives me instruction what to do today. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do today? How would you have me think? I'm willing to let go of the way that I think. I'm willing to let go of my understanding and pick up the Lord's understanding. Mm-hmm. And when I'm obedient, now watch this, then I'm able to rule. Now watch what happens. So Solomon, And I'll just briefly tell you what happens after this. So Solomon's kingdom becomes so great that the world leaders are looking to Israel for answers. They're coming. You have kings and queens that are coming to Israel. Remember, just a few hundred years before this, just a few hundred years, Israel was the least of the least of the least of all nations. God moved Israel from being the least of the least to the greatest of the great. God moved Israel from being overtaken by a heathen people, the Philistines, to being the conquerors of the earth. Because of sacrifice, then obedience, and obedience will lead you to rule well yourself and what is around you. It will lead you to rule yourself well so that you can rule what is around you well. Do not try to rule what is around you well without ruling yourself well. That's called manipulation. That's called hypocrisy. If you're not willing to rule yourself, there's nothing that stinks worse than hypocrisy. There's nothing worse than saying, don't do as I do as I say. My dad used to say it to me all the time. I used to say, that stinks of hypocrisy. No, I didn't say that. He just slapped me down. All right, stand up as we close. So, what happened in Solomon's kingdom? Queen of Sheba comes. She needs answers. I'm telling you, for someone who will walk this out, and it doesn't take many, it just takes the courageous. It just takes someone who's willing to say, hey, listen, I don't know what they're going to do, but I choose to give my life for the kingdom of God. I choose to take up my cross every day for the kingdom of God. I'm willing to rule myself and rule what's around me for the kingdom of God. If you have someone like, just one like that, you become like a magnet to those who don't have answers. Listen, there are a lot of answers that are being, questions that are being asked out there that people don't have answers for. And they need you. You've been positioned for such a time as this. God's made you for this time, just this time. You weren't born out of time. Stop saying that. Well, I wish I was born in the 1840s. Stop it. They didn't have running water. You've been born for such a time as this. This is your time. You say, yeah, but I'm not. Stop it. He made you. He knows you better than anyone else. He made you just for this moment. All you have to do is say, Lord, my life is not my own, it's yours. Lay it down. All you have to do is say, Lord, I want to be obedient to you. Pick up your cross. That's your cross. Hey, Jesus was already nailed to the cross. You're called to carry your cross. He was nailed to the cross so you would be able to carry your cross. Remember, what is it you're carrying? You're carrying what Jesus sacrificed. You're carrying the sacrifice of Jesus on you. Everything he purchased is on that cross. Everything he paid for is on forgiveness, healing, sickness, and disease. Being completely whole, having a right identity, that's on that cross, and that's what you carry. All provision, all defense, all identity, it's yours because you get to carry it. And when you're obedient, then you get to rule. You can say, you know what? I choose not to do that. I choose not to go there. And the grace of God flood and fills you when you make that decision to be obedient to God. It's not hard because he makes it so it's not hard. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And when you rule yourself, then you can rule what's around you. Hey, that over there, that needs dealt with. Lord, show me what to do. hey, Lord, this over here, that needs some attention. All right, let me tell you what to do. I want you to run over, and I want you to see that person, and I want you to tell them that I love them. Listen, sacrifice, obedience, and ruling. It's the pattern that Solomon gave us, but it's just a pattern. We have the fulfillment of all of that. We don't have to run to a temple. We are the temple. Let's pray. Would you just put your hand on your heart? Say, Lord, I've been born for such a time as this. You made me here and now. You made a way for me to lay down my life and for it to mean something. My life is going to be spent, whether I serve you or not. I'm going to come to the end of my days at some point. Would you make it for something worthwhile? Would you help me to walk in what you made me for? Help me to lay down my life. Lord, help me to pick up my cross. Help me to follow you. That means follow you to the Father's feet. Listen to what the Father is saying. Release that on the earth. See what the Father is doing and do that on the earth. Just like my elder brother. So, Father, I pray over them now that we would live a life encountering you every day. Encountering you every day. That we wouldn't have to go not one day without being in your presence, walking through that cloud. If I lay my life down, if I pick up my cross, if I'm willing to rule, then you'll meet me and you'll teach me. You'll show me, you'll encourage me. You'll teach me how to think. You'll teach me how to walk. That is the life of a disciple. That is the life that I choose. Help me, God. For I desire to live my life, increase the kingdom of God on the earth in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my elder brother. So, Father, bless them. Keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. Help us, Father, to sacrifice. Pick up our cross and to rule well. Say that one more time with me. Lord, help me to sacrifice my life, to pick up my cross daily, and to rule well myself and that around me. All the people of God said, City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higby. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.